I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, January 24th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. How wild and dystopic, you ask? Well, there are many metrics we could use, many mileposts, but how about just a few of the headlines on RBN? Today, just to sort of give some kind of indication of where we're at and what's going on. So we have the lingering COVID nonsense and shenanigans. We haven't all learned our lessons entirely. It's difficult, though. It's difficult. If you have been lured in, there is a psychological bias, confirmation bias, known as effort justification bias. And so basically your participation can be weaponized against you to play tricks on your judgment and to make you subjective. And I have said for and maintained for quite some time that there's a reason that PBS and NPR and outlets like that do fundraisers. It's not because the Ford Foundation is running out of money. It's because it buys your loyalty, literally. You own the propaganda. And I would say the same thing happens in politics. At the highest levels, I think the case can easily be made that oftentimes what you see is without getting into specifics, I'm not even going to name examples. I'll just leave it to you to investigate for yourself. But particularly at, say, the national level of politics, voting in America, for example, conspires against us. Effort justification is weaponized against us in the sense that you vote for a person, and there are instances, I would say oftentimes, that person, that representative, then attacks their constituency first and foremost above all others. And that's why, to the outsider, shall we say, the person who didn't vote for that candidate or that representative, to them it is so clear. They look and they say, what is wrong with you? Can't you see that, you know, this is what's going on? For instance, can't you see that this candidate or this representative is attacking you and his or her constituents? And people are blind to it, largely because of effort justification. You do not want to be the person who admits, it's effort justification and a form of Stockholm syndrome, where you don't want to be the person who, rats out your kidnapper, basically. It's a weird thing. So for those who have been lured in by the COVID shenanigans, it's difficult for folks to renounce those things. And, again, their participation, effort justification bias tells us that my participation in doing this thing or that thing, wearing a mask, standing 6 feet apart, which doesn't sound scientific at all, the logic breaks down very quickly when you see public officials, Joe Biden, for example, wearing a mask, standing all by himself, maybe on a tarmac somewhere with wind blowing everywhere, all by himself, wearing a mask. And then, you see pictures lately of some people are wearing them, some people are not. It's crazy. The logic breaks down, but the psychological impact remains. So for those who have been lured in by the shenanigans, it's difficult to say, you know what? I was lured in. Clearly this was a mistake. I think that's, it's a parallel point. It's akin to Del Bigtree and others saying that there are no anti-vaxxers. There are, what do you call them? Not reformed, not former, something like that. They're not anti-vaxxers. They are usually it's the people who something happened personally, probably to them or a loved one, and the evidence is undeniable. So we have countless stories lately of people dropping like flies. And, there are people posting on social media, there were people saying, like on this network, for example, that this wasn't going to be good. And you have folks like Edward Dowd kind of telling the rest of the story statistically. If we could believe the numbers, then guess what? None of this is coincidental. And so we should probably be paying attention to that. But some of the headlines, to get to the headlines. All hell breaks loose. Elon Musk tweets he felt he was dying after booster. Why is he getting boosters? Young cousin hospitalized with myocarditis. Scott Adams says anti-vaxxers were right. Protest outside BBC. Fox News VP dies. That was a big story. Speaking of all of this stuff, and people have observed, there are the memes, all kinds of memes going around now, these images of, the one person saying, hey, we were wrong about that. Let's let bygones be bygones. And the other guy says, no, actually I stand by every word I said. So tell me what I was wrong about. You were obviously wrong, but what was I wrong about? This is dangerous. I mean, we've entered into just crazy, uncharted territory. I mean, some of it's not necessarily new. Some of it's everything is old. Everything old is new again. The housing stuff that we're facing, which, makes me think of the economic problems we're facing. We don't manufacture anything anymore in America. I think Mike Rowe is right. We need people in the trades. That's a good thing. But, we're propagandized to believe that we need to go to university. We need to go study under Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle for a while so we can become a godless, satanic horde. But, a kinder, gentler horde. That's literally what's happening when you go to university, and the higher and further along you go, the worse it is if we can believe folks like Whitaker Chambers. So, you think about the economic impact, you know, so the housing stuff, you can go back to, remember after the First World War, we had a big housing issue and there were camps in Washington, D.C., homeless folks, and who was it? I think it was Hoover, right? Who sent the troops, and the slogan was, you know, and then it happened again, I think the following year, and the PR line was that Eleanor Roosevelt brought sandwiches or something, and so, you know, that was the slogan. Hoover brought the troops, and Roosevelt sent his wife or something like that. Anyway, this economic issue that we're facing, you know, it's obvious. You can chart the course of that and the trajectory and see where that's going with this economic system that we have, so-called fractional, so-called reserve. There is no reserve. And the fractional is a Ponzi scheme. It can never end. And the Triffin dilemma says that that will eventually, what goes up will come down, will come crashing down. So, you know, if you're a monopolist, it's great for you. Eventually, you know, the long game is corporations will own everything, and ultimately one corporation, which is why, is it Judge Dredd or the other one, where Taco Bell owns everything, which is, you know, cheeky, especially since they've run all of those Bell-Luminati commercials. You know, consolidation is the long game. So you have corporations, not people, which is why Stuart Chase in The Road We Are Traveling writes, you know, Mr. New Deal, the guy who literally wrote The New Deal, the book The New Deal. Stuart Chase said the future is, you know, not ownership, it's control without ownership, so that bad guys can fade into the woodwork and not, you won't have a neck to grab, but you have controlling, interlocking boards and things. And those people have met recently in Davos, obviously. So back to the headlines. This crazy stuff that's going on. Back to the headlines, RBN. Musk testifies, claims tweet that judge ruled false was absolutely truthful. Clarkson fights back, goes on offensive against woke takeover. And so that's interesting stuff. Things you can and cannot say. And it seems, so that's, it seems that even celebrities, more and more celebrities are starting to come to their senses, shall we say. How about this one? Top FBI Russiagate official took secret payments from Russian oligarch. That's according to the DOJ. That from also from Zero Hedge. And who was it that was in Davos? Was it Christopher Wray? I think. Right? And people were asking the question, what is he doing over there? The Federal Bureau of Investigation, what does that have to do with that? Why is he in Davos saying that there's great public-private partnership coordination? There are some posts about that floating around. Red State, what Christopher Wray said at the WEF raises more questions. Was there anything other than questions? So Red State Post, as I wrote earlier, Nick Arama writes, there are a lot of powerful folks meeting at the World Economic Forum in Davos over the past few days. From the heads of liberal media like the chair of the New York Times to Biden officials and politicians, here's a list of U.S. public figure officials who were in attendance, in addition to all kinds of media and business, including BlackRock and people from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. A couple of people on the list drew particular concern. Biden's Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines. Avril Event 201 Haines, remember that? And then she got promoted. FBI Director Christopher Wray. What exactly were they doing here? Representative Troy Nels of Texas raised a question about Wray. Twitter head Elon Musk weighed in saying, does it seem odd? It does seem odd. Avril Haines was speaking about Ukraine and said that we should support them as much as possible. This is, I don't know. I feel like we're reliving reverberations of like Iran-Contra kind of stuff here. And I feel Ollie North, you know, for some reason when I hear Ukraine and these kinds of people saying that, I feel like we're hearing echoes of Ollie North saying, yes, I lied, and I lie again. NATO Secretary General Stoltenberg, Polish President Duda, and others discussed global peace and security. Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines, said there is, quote, no question that it is in all of our interest to support Ukraine as much as possible. So corruption and laundering and, you know, and again, when it comes to Ukraine, how did we move on exactly from Biden's, the conversation over at the Council on Foreign Relations with Richard N. Haass? You should play that soundbite like every day. Just wear it out. What do you know? Son of a gun. He got fired. And they put in place somebody who was solid at the time. Joe, shake down Biden. I said, you know what? You're not getting the $1 billion. Did you guys fire that guy? Did you fire that state prosecutor? Why did Joe Biden want a state prosecutor fired? And is that not corruption at the highest level? I just can't comprehend how we make the giant mental leap over that. When we're, especially, again, speaking of the Biden or the Streisand effect, excuse me, how are we making the giant mental leap over, you know, we hear about Ukraine every day. And Avril Haines, Avril Event 201 Haines, I got promoted. Congratulations, Avril. Good for you. How are you making the giant mental leap over, you know, Chicago Joe? Joe Biden thinks he's Al Capone. You're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not the president. Well, you know what? Go ahead, call him. You're not getting the billion. I'm leaving here in about 6 hours. If you don't fire that guy, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a gun, he got fired. I mean, that seems criminal, is it not? The vice president, is he disclosed criminality, his own criminal behavior in Ukraine? But now he's president. That's America. That's how crazy things are. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, feels it's good getting used. Oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sent me right down and he talked to me. That I ought not to let you just walk on me.
Welcome back.
And I'm sure he meant well.
All right, so we need to move on and get to business. But speaking of Christopher Wray, I mean, this is where we're at in it's an all-out war. It's psychological in nature. primarily. And just because there are not bombs dropping does not mean it's not a war. Just because shots are not being fired does not mean there's not a war. And that, I think, is one of the most difficult things for people to conceptualize. It's Frank Kitson's low-intensity operations. That's what's going on. It is predominantly psychological in nature, and that's why you see the things that seem contradictory all the time all around us, because that wears you down, wears down your resistance, and makes people more malleable, generally speaking. So, as some of the memes that are floating around the interwebs put it, you know, for example, with the carbon nonsense, net zero, what does that mean? If you go back to that Bill Gates innovating to zero, what is the first metric in the equation to reduce CO2 emissions? It's people. And all of the others, all of the other factors are predicated on people using them, if memory serves. So, as some people have observed, you are the carbon they want to reduce. Exactly. And just because it ain't kinetic doesn't mean it ain't all-out war. Just because bombs aren't dropping doesn't mean that's not what's going on. So, you know, people say, well, you know, that's not what Christopher Wray said. He said that, you know, collaboration is good between governments and the private sector. Sure. To what end? Well, you know, we have a lot of, there are a lot of foreign actors. There are a lot of state and non-state actors that are, you know, actors. Sure, but thought that the oaths that people swear are, you know, to protect or defend and or defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we have heard that from folks like James Madison, for example, that the means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. He said it's a cliche, basically. Among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite a war when a revolt was apprehended. Throughout all Europe, the armies kept up under the pretext of defending have enslaved the people. That's how you do it. And you always say, well, you know. And if you can't find, you know, if you don't have a common enemy, then in Machiavellian fashion, Chapter 20, right? You invent one. Chapter 20 of The Prince. And that's what the Club of Rome said. Climate, global warming, all of that. You know, mankind is the enemy, and we must unite him against himself, essentially, to destroy himself. Well, that's where we're at. And that's, you know, how crazy things are. People are buying into the nonsense that we should destroy ourselves and one another. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And before that, he said, the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. So the way that it was put, I'll finish that thought and we'll move on when we come back. Right after this short break, stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed. But you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back. It's amazing what people will believe. Just because a guy says something, well, you know, he's very wealthy. How did he get very wealthy, by the way? We're not supposed to talk about that. You know, it's astonishing to me that, you know, somebody could be a shrewd and ruthless capitalist from 9 to 5, but then suddenly he puts on a cape and he just loves people after 5 p.m. And people believe that. It's astonishing. But, you know, that's the story of Bill Gates. I guess we forgot about all the antitrust stuff and how dishonest he was through the antitrust hearings, coached by his dad, I'm sure. You know, and you start to dive down the rabbit hole of the Gates family history and the, you know, Planned Parenthood stuff and the Federal Reserve and banking stuff. It's interesting. It's interesting history. So where did all of this climate stuff come from? There was that report that the Club of Rome put out in the early 70s. Was it 71, I want to say? And then there was the follow-up book 20 years later. The report was The Limits to Growth. And what kind of growth? Well, if it's not self-evident, I'll mention that in a second. But and then the book, The First Global Revolution, that was a continuation of the thoughts from the report, First Global Revolution, published in 1991. And so from that document, a couple of excerpts. It is not possible at this stage to foresee the consequences of these innovations with any clarity, but some trends are already visible. In the information society, interdependence between individuals and between countries, between individuals and between countries will increase through the immediate visibility of information. It will lead to a greater complexity of institutions and societies. Maybe we could imagine Richard N. Gardner's article in the, you know, Council on Foreign Relations article in the CFR's periodical Foreign Affairs back in 1974, The Hard Road to World Order, when he said, we're going to expand institutions at a, basically it's going to be dizzying. He said, to quote William James, it'll be a great booming, buzzing confusion. And if you quote William James, you basically confess yourself an old school bad guy, in my opinion. So, continuing, it will lead to a greater complexity of institutions and societies. It could enable a high degree of power and decision making, but it could be equally well served. But it could equally well serve the will of unscrupulous leaders to consolidate centralized power. Imagine that. Is that a confession there? By Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider and the Club of Rome contingent and those they represent. There will be the means for the electronic control of everyone's activities by Big Brother, quote-unquote, dictators and societies, far more effective than myriads of secret police. You know, Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote similar things, particularly in Between Two Ages. Yuval Noah Harari more recently is running around speaking of, you know, the same contingent of folks who fancy themselves are betters. Harari's running around saying basically the same things. Congratulations, humans, you are hackable. You are useless people. This is where we're at. So continuing with an excerpt, and then we'll go to Mr. How to Lie with Statistics himself, Mr. Number Games, Bill Gates himself, you know, the guy who's pictured with Daryl Huff's book, Mr. Number Games himself. So, I'll get back to that in a second. Back to the First Global Revolution, published by the Club of Rome. Written by, or attributed to, I suppose, maybe, Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider, 1991. Population control, necessary as it is, must be planned in terms of human well-being. We got to make it sound good, you know? It's a good thing. We all, you know, and that's the, again, that's the Darwinian rub. You know, you're biologically inferior and therefore you must die. That's what Francis Galton, the guy who coined the term eugenics, he wrote to his cousin, Charles Darwin, after reading Origin of Species. And by the way, again, lest we forget, I talked about some of the eugenics stuff, population control stuff yesterday, just sort of anecdotally in passing. But, you know, thanks to a friend, a dear friend, for, I don't know, 15, going on 20 years, maybe. Maybe not that long. I always think of him saying, when I say on the Origin of Species, him saying, but Chris, remember, what is the full title of the book? On the Origin of Species, By Means of Natural Selection, Oxford, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. By Means of Natural Selection. Okay. Let's pretend that, you know, Darwin himself didn't say the fossil record is strangely silent. There should be tweeners everywhere, but there aren't. Let's pretend for a moment we could get on board with Means of Natural Selection. What about Oxford, or The Preservation of Favored Races and the Struggle for Life? What about that? Doesn't that sound patently sort of eliminationist? Nazi, shall we say? We must exterminate them? Or The Preservation of Favored Races and the Struggle for Life. At what point does that become, you know, literal and aggressive and hostile, openly hostile? I believe at a societal level we are living the stabbing scene in Saving Private Ryan. But you know what? We're just supposed to be quiet. It'll all be over soon. Population control, necessary as it is, if you believe the Margaret Sangers of the world anyway. Again, how can anyone support Planned Parenthood or anything like it? Well, you know, women's reproductive services and health, that's not the majority of what they provide. Statistics tell us clearly that's not the case. It is, you know, what does population control mean? It means population reduction. And if you can believe what Bill Gates, even Bill Gates says, we've reached peak baby, as they like to say. And what does that mean? Again, getting back to an inflationary scheme, an economy that's based on inflation, which is what ours is, and public officials say it's based on the full faith and credit of the American people, public confidence. It's based on confidence. It's a confidence game. Well, what happens when we don't make anything anymore? We don't produce anything. We don't manufacture anything. And we are in population decline. Then what? While the units, the monetary units, are still spiraling off into oblivion. But according to the 14th Amendment, you can't even talk about that. Why is that? A point that most people seem to either forget or not realize. Unfortunately. Section 4, validity of public debt. Cannot question the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law. Yeah. And what have folks said? You know, that's the Soviet way. You authorize it by law, including debts incurred, you know, whether constitutionally, you know, orthodox or not, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion. So I've said for years, you know, this is the clause that tells you, hey, you know what, we can tax you to make you be quiet, and you can't question it. Shall not be questioned. All right, let me continue the excerpt so we can finish this. Population control, necessary as it is, must be planned in terms of human well-being. It is of paramount importance that all countries striving for development should design their population policies. What? Wasn't the... What did how did Laurie Schwab Zabin put it in her sort of acceptance speech lecture at Vassar, Gates Foundation, for population and reproductive health. What did she say? We don't say... Anyway, that's a naughty word. Maybe we should throw that clip in with Bill Gates, because that's where the Gates Foundation started. Bill Gates, Gates Foundation, Planned Parenthood stuff, and the partnership with Johns Hopkins. Anyway. That's a naughty word. We don't say that. Okay. These policies have to be based on detailed exploration of demographic growth. This is population policies. Governments, you know, according to the Club of Rome, we're all supposed to decide how many, you know, the one child policy needs to be instituted in a way that's, you know, presented in terms of human well-being. Everyone will want to do it. Maybe that video that Bill Gates said that if we can bring people up to a certain socioeconomic standard, then they won't have... Basically, they sort of self-impose a one-child policy, is what he was saying. And that's on his YouTube, his own channel. So basically, you know, we implement population, we self-administer population control based on a socioeconomic standard, which is why, you know, we get all of the world. That's why we got to eliminate poverty, because if we eliminate poverty, then we can all basically self-manage ourselves to extinction. It's fun. So continuing, these policies from the first global revolution, these policies have to be based on a detailed exploration of the demographic growth prospects in relation to resource availability and development aims, including the standard of living, which each country hopes to achieve. Only through informed assessment of such prospects can development planning be realistic. If the public is to respond to population control needs, it must be given sufficient information to understand the dangers of overpopulation for the individual and the benefits that would flow from population growth restraint. Such conditions are necessary if population planning is to be implemented with humanity. So where does the information come from? What information is important exactly, and who decides? Again, the question is always, who decides? And so, continuing with the excerpt, elites everywhere reconcile easily despite the surface controversy. The general public is not involved, over only manipulated in debates of this type. Really, that's interesting. That sounds like what goes on at Davos, and then, you know, we get surface level controversy presented to us in the media. The gulf between elite thinking and thinking at a popular level is enormous, they wrote in the First Global Revolution. Here is where we find distortions and tensions difficult or even impossible to resolve. I wonder where those differences, I wonder how the gulf, where that comes from. It is simply not good enough that access to leadership be achieved through good television performances and simplistic speeches aimed at manipulating the masses into enthusiastic support with empty promises and avoidance of realities. Right, kind of like what Bernays wrote in The Engineering of Consent. Propaganda is not enough. And so, you know, really what's going on is if you're planning these kinds of things and you're manipulating people, you don't want them to find out eventually, because they'll storm your little Brazilianized enclave somewhere, and you can expect, you know, they won't be happy to know, you know, how you have manipulated them and beguiled and deceived them into self and other destruction. So, It's an unpleasant thing. The Club of Rome writes, in the first global revolution, it would seem that men and women need a common motivation, namely a common adversary, to organize and act together. In the vacuum, such motivations seem to have ceased to exist or have yet to be found. I thought the UN was supposed to keep us from war and things. The need for enemies seemed to be a common historical factor. States have striven to overcome domestic failure and internal contradictions by designating external enemies. The scapegoat practice is as old as mankind itself. When things become too difficult at home, divert attention by adventure abroad. Stick around, we'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Quick excerpt from the First Global Revolution, and then to Mr. Number Games himself, A Guide to Number Games, How to Lie with Statistics, Daryl Huff's book, 1954 book. One chapter shows how visuals can be used to exaggerate trends and give distorted comparisons. You know, he posted that March 14, 2015 on his blog, GatesNotes.com. the same time that he was given a same week that he was given a TED Talk. That's funny. The we're not ready one. You know, with the numbers and graphs and all that stuff. That's funny. Same time. He posted a guide to number games. It would seem that men and women need a common motivation, namely a common adversary to organize and act together. In the vacuum, such motivation seemed to have ceased to exist or have yet to be found. The need for enemies seemed to be a common historical factor. States of striving to overcome domestic failure and internal contradictions by designating external enemies. The scapegoat practice is as old as mankind himself. Mankind itself. When things become too difficult at home, divert attention by adventure abroad. Again, James Madison's quote, or, you know, it's the Machiavellian way. Bring the divided nation together to face an outside enemy, either a real one or else one invented for the purpose. Again, Machiavelli, The Prince, chapter 20. With the disappearance of the traditional enemy, the temptation is to designate a scapegoat. Designate as scapegoat religious or ethnic minorities whose differences are disturbing or are perceived as disturbing. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea, the Club of Rome says, that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. The fundamental need is to reduce carbon dioxide emission. That's funny. Because that's what we're hearing today, 30 years later. Wow, they were psychic. All right, Mr. Number Games himself, can you please play the clip?
I asked the top scientists on this several times, do we really have to get down to near zero? Can't we just, you know, cut it in half or a quarter? And the answer is that until we get near to zero, the temperature will continue to rise. And so that's a big challenge. It's very different than saying, you know, we're a 12-foot-high truck trying to get under a 10-foot bridge and we can just sort of squeeze under. This is something that has to get to zero. Now, we put out a lot of carbon dioxide every year, over 26 billion tons. For each American, it's about 20 tons. For people in poor countries, it's less than one ton. It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy.
So what's the punchline? Well, we'll finish in the second hour. Stick around. More right after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.